Speaking of goody two shoes, Middo, the Buzz. How are you, buddy?
Oh, what about you, Clarky? How fresh do you sound, mate? What about you?
It's nice to be back, mate. Nice and fresh. A little overweight, but nice and fresh.
Yeah, the boys quizzed you about your...
Yes, they have on air and off air.
What did you reveal?
Not much that you don't already know, to be honest.
Oh, I did keep an eye on your social media.
I had a good time, buddy. It was really good. But it is nice to be home, I've got to say.
What about you and James Packer, eh? You're flying.
What do you mean?
Mate, I'm straight out getting out in the tinny on Port Hacking, and you're on a $190 million boat.
$280 million, don't sell it short. But yeah, you're right, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, I'll take you out of my tinny one day, Clark.
I'm very, very lucky.
Well, you still owe him a feed, Buzz.
Yes.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Fish and chips.
Oh, mate, you're flying, mate. As I said on this show last week, I've never known anyone such an exciting countdown to the final just to take off for a month.
I needed it. Mate, it's the way the Tigers are playing, I had to go in hiding.
Yeah, well.
What about your Sharkies, though? On fire, aren't they?
I tell you what, Clark, it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, I agree.
And the job Craig Fitzgibbon's done, I know Todd Payton's had a great year at the Cows and Ivan Cleary again at Penrith, but he's going to be hard to knock off for Coach of the Year. And I just like the feel of the squad. I love the culture that people like Nicho Hynes and Dale Finucane have brought to the Shire. They're turning up every week. They rarely have an off day like a few other contenders. And, yeah, no, it's really exciting. And I heard Laurie say earlier, and I know we're going to talk about this a bit later, this is such an exciting run home to the finals. Mm. And I reckon any of six teams can win. Obviously, Penrith, the $2.25 favourites with the TAB. But like you said, Loss, I just cannot work out who they'll be playing. And to have South and the Roosters strike form over the last month is so great for this competition. The Cowboys had, they didn't play great against the Roosters the other day, but the Sharks and the Storm can win as well. It's great for rugby league, and I can't wait for the next 7 weeks till grand final.
Though. Yeah, I think all those sides you mentioned, Buzz, and I failed to mention the Sharks there before, but they're certainly capable. I just look at it and go, you know, Penrith are the standout, and they've been the best side, but you know, they're starting to get a few injuries, and you just don't know what's going to happen. But all those other teams, you could make a case for them playing in the grand final, which I think, as you mentioned, is exciting. And I don't know, we over the last couple of years, we've probably had one or two standout sides, and the teams that are expected to get there, and they, you know, the Roosters or Penrith or Melbourne have won it. But I just like the fact that someone could possibly play well on the day and cause an upset.
Just like, Loz, the look of those Roosters and Rabbitohs rosters, and you look through the big game experience of the Tedescos, the Curies, the Martins, Jared Warahargreaves, and the Souths, to Cameron Murray, to Tommy Burgess, rookie half, but Cody Walker and Luttrell. And I honestly think this is a year we could see a side out of the top four be there on grand final day with an even money chance of winning. I really do, and it's great for the competition. As I said, we've got the Allianz Stadium opening and Blockbuster round 25, then what could be an all-time final series.
Big news yesterday for the Bulldogs, signing Cameron Sorrell for 5 years.
Yeah, massive story. Gus finally got his man. He threw a few dummies along the way, Gussie, and originally...
No, surely not.
sold a few porkies, but look, he told us originally he wanted an experienced coach because of the magnitude of the rebuild at Belmore, and that immediately shone the light on Shane Flanagan and Michael Maguire, who both won premierships, but... really, he always wanted Cameron Sorrell. They were 38, he'll be the youngest coach in the NRL, but a terrific talent. He's been a great right-hand man for Ivan Cleary at the Panthers with all their success in recent years. He's their Minister for Defence there. He's the one who designed all the strategies to keep their line intact, which has just been so outstanding in recent times. Look, the only thing I will say, it's just because you're out of a Penrith system or a Melbourne system, it doesn't automatically make you a great coach. And I wrote this morning about Trent Barrett only having a 14% win record despite the rap on Baz when he came out of Penrith, and Garth Brennan too. At the Titans had a tough run. I think he had a 30% win record. And you look at guys like Adam O'Brien, who came out of Melbourne, then had a year under Trent Rock. So it doesn't mean you're going to be an immediate success, but I've got this feeling that Cameron Serraldo will prove that theory wrong, that he's got what it takes. I think it's enormous for Canterbury in that he knows the pathways so well at Penrith. He's been there over a decade on their coaching staff. Knows how to bring young players through. And, I think it's a huge coup for the Bulldogs. I spoke to the TAB guys last week, and they haven't put a market up for next year yet. But when you add Billy Kickow and Reid Marnie to the list that it, up until the Warriors game were playing really good football, put them in with Matty Burton and the rest of the top, I think they're going to be a real top eight chance next year.
Buzz, you mentioned Trent Barrett. Does this open up the door for him to even go back to the Panthers as an assistant?
Oh, probably not, Clarkie. Look, he's been there twice as an assistant. It was with Ivan Cleary originally, and then he went to Manly. Then he quit Manly and went back there. I don't think he'd come back three times. But look, what I wrote on the weekend, and I think this would be a terrific move for St George Illawarra. They've dumped their two assistant coaches, and Wade and James Graham. So Anthony Griffin is looking for new assistants, assistants who can connect with younger players, which Trent Barrett has proven at. I think Baz is a great assistant coach, and he showed that at Penrith with the early development of young Cleary and Jerome Luai and Matt Burton, all those guys came through while he was the assistant. And I think he'd be an absolute coup for the Dragons. They've got terrific young players coming through. You saw Amone yesterday down in the National Capital. What did he score? Three tries. And I think it's time St George did bring through some of the younger players, and it'd be really exciting there to have Baz alongside Anthony Griffin to oversee that.
What did you make of Manly yesterday, Buzz? And given that performance, how much of an effect do you think it's played on their minds that, you know, the day that they decided, the seven decided not to wear that pride jersey?
I said at the time, Loz, and I've been saying it like a broken record ever since, I think it fractured the dressing sheds. And again, I don't want to be critical of those players. I'd just like to hear from them, the seven who pulled out, to get a better understanding of their reasons. But they weren't, they were really poor. What did they leak yesterday? 38 points, something like that, to the Titans. That's just not on for a team that was mathematically still alive in the competition. And now I know Brent Reid wrote in the Daily Telegraph on Saturday about the clauses in Dez's contract. And the fact Dez's manager, George Bimas, met with the club 2 weeks ago but can't get rid of that clause in the contract that he has to make the top eight or top six this year to get an extension. So what this means is Dez is going to be under enormous pressure to turn it all around next year. I don't know if they've brought in a lot of new talent. They're losing Kieran Foran. They've got to get Josh Hughes to fit to play 5-8 next year. So it's a real turning point moment for the Seagulls. It's been really, really disappointing the back end of the season. And obviously the pride jersey has affected them, because what you had 10 players who were prepared to turn up and play for their season against the Roosters, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago, while you had seven that didn't. And again, I'm not blaming them. It was a total lack of consultation from the club. They didn't handle it properly, but I think it has ruined their season because they're not playing anything like we know they can.
Can I read between the lines here, Buzz, that there's not total support there for Dez?
I think you can, and I think Scott Penn came when he arrived back from America during this crisis. He said, look, Dez is here as long as he wants, but the test was here as long as he what there'd be more public support.
Yeah, and you'd sign him up, wouldn't you? Just extend him.
Is that from board, you reckon, Laws, or players?
I don't know. Yeah, okay. I thought Des would just be there for as long as he wanted to be there, but I'm sort of reading between the lines here. They're saying, well, they're not going to take out, and we're not going to give Des another year. We'll see how we go next year. I'm just sitting back going, well, if you really wanted him, you'd be extending him now.
Yeah, look, if you remember when Bulldog broke the Pride jumper story, and Des and Dally Cherry Evans did a press conference, and I thought they both showed outstanding leadership, the front up of the cameras, and tried to tell the story and give people an understanding and you know of the entire situation that had rocked the club. But Des was quite critical of the management, the football club management and the board for the manner in which they handled it. I say good on him. We want honesty. We want the truth out there. We want to know why this situation eventuated, but I don't think it won him any support from the board. They were expecting him to, I think, toe more of a company line. But look, the bottom line is they don't have results this year and I'm not prepared to blame Des for that. I'm really not. I blame the Pride jersey fiasco and because they were well and truly in the race. But look, they nearly beat us. They weren't that far off the pace against the Roosters that day without seven players. But it's pretty obvious when you're letting the Titans run in 38 points. And that was, what, their first win in 10 weeks. I think it's you know, pretty obvious that there's serious internal problems inside that club.
Buzz, you and your colleagues compiled the Rich 100 list, which we saw in the News Corp papers over the weekend. What did you learn from compiling that?
I'll tell you what I have learned. I'm going to do next year. I'm going to do a media rich list. All right?
I know he'll be on top.
Yeah, I agree. Middo, I'd like his rich.
Well, I know what the Quinella will be.
Yeah, Daily Clark.
Please.
Daily Clark.
Yeah, in that order too, I agree.
No.
Then we move on to the battlers, right? The workers. Okay?
The grafters.
Bulldogs. The real people.
talking of the real people, did you watch the Matty John show last night?
Oh, mate.
What did you think of the impersonation?
Mate, Matty sent me a text and says, wasn't that fun, Buzz? I said, I can't repeat what I said back.
It wasn't thanks?
Oh, mate, he loves giving it to me, those Blakes, Fletcher, Hindy, all of them. But anyway, we'll keep going, Loz.
Yeah, you just got to keep battling on, mate.
You know what? My view is whatever anyone says about you or writes about you, as long as they spell your name right, everything's sweet. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree. Yeah. I'm happy for him to spell my name wrong.
Yeah. You're with Clark with an E, aren't you?
I am.
But anyway.
Today I am.
Mido, back to that NRL 100 rich list. And look, what it did expose was at least a dozen or more really questionable deals of players being overpaid in the competition. And my column today, I pointed out that we should not in any capacity be blaming the players. Like, no one held a gun to David Peter's head and said, you know, you've got to sign here for $1.1 million or whatever he's on. No one ordered Luke Brooks to sign at the West Tigers for $960,000 a year. So what this is, I think, particularly at the struggling clubs, we've seen many, many cases of salary cap mismanagement, desperate clubs, desperate coaches and recruitment staff attempting to buy immediate success, wanting a quick fix, multi-million dollar signings, no investment in pathways or juniors, no five-year plans, nothing strategic about rebuilds. And so I think we should be blaming the clubs rather than the players for the way some of them have recklessly gone about building strong rosters to win straight away rather than build for sustained success, like clubs, like the Roosters, like the Panthers have. Just for all my blues with him over the years, the system he set up at Penrith was so first class. And what it's done, it didn't just win them a premiership last year. It set them up for sustained success, like Melbourne Storm. Melbourne Storm have made the finals 10 of the last 10 years and they've made the top four 9 of those last 10 years. And they don't overpay players. They don't do panic signings. So these clubs like the Warriors, Titans and the West Tigers have got to steadily rebuild, show some patience, show some mettle against, you know, and just build, and they'll eventually get there. But, you know, the West Tigers threw so 900,000 at Moses Embiid, 900,000 at Russell Packer, Joey Leilua, huge money, Josh Reynolds. It's not money well spent. The rich list has exposed this.
Well, I'll tell you where money was well spent, Buzz, and whatever they paid him, it wasn't enough. Nico Hines, both on and off the field.
Oh, my goodness. What a quality human being, this guy. Did you guys see his him at full-time in Tamworth the other day, how he spoke about the grieving family of Green? And it was just delivered so beautifully. And Nico Hines has had a lot of experience around mental health, and he's had a few personal battles himself, and he knows a lot of his mates have as well. And if we do an Are You OK campaign, I don't think it should be just for one round. I think it should be every round. And the game has got an opportunity here to take a leadership position on that. And I heard your very good comments earlier, Clarkey. And I think people like Nico Hines and yourself, Clarkey, with the cricketers, need to front these campaigns. And, you know, people listen to their heroes and the stars. And if you can save one life,
yeah,
it's going to be a victory. And yeah, it's going to take a long, long time for all of us across the game, the fans, players, everyone, you know, to get over what happened with Paul Green last week.
Yeah.
Buzz, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Cheers now.